To be present, we must be intentional, and to bear fruit, we must feed the soul. You're listening to Pause, Sip, and Ponder. Welcome back to another episode of Pause, Sip, and Ponder, also continuing our series Her Story, and I'm super excited to share some of the stories of one of my newest but really good friends, Angie. Welcome, Angie.
Hi, everyone. I don't know if I'm supposed to look at the camera.
Shy.
Do I look at the camera? Do I look at
you? Yeah, you can look at the camera.
Okay.
But you don't have to.
All right, cool.
But for those who are new here, welcome. This is Positive and Ponder, a podcast where we talk about everything and anything in the aim to give you some encouragement, some hope. We do some storytelling, and we just learn and gain more perspectives. And I'm super excited for today. As we will be continuing this series that I've been getting a lot of feedback on. So thank you. Also, want to apologize and say thank you for your patience with all the audio issues I've been having, all the video issues I've been having. I do this all by myself, so I really appreciate your guys' patience. But how are you feeling, Angie? Welcome.
Hi. Also, side note, she is a girl boss. I don't know if she's going to edit this part out, but genuinely amazing everything she does with doing this all by herself, then doing her business and doing everything. So definitely huge shout out to her, too. Doesn't give herself enough credit, but yeah.
Thank you, Angie. Yeah, she affirmed me with that this morning, and I've been trying to affirm myself with that. And yeah, it's been a great joy, this podcast, especially as the year's closing soon. I'm almost at 100 episodes, which is crazy.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing this like part-time, just like as a side thing, but it's been a great joy. I've been meeting so many awesome people throughout the years, and I'm so excited for what's to come. But yeah, so our Her Story series is about me asking some of my favorite women in my life, those who have been influential or impactful, whether through casual conversations at the coffee shops or through encouraging text messages, so many different situations. And these are the people in my life personally. Of course, there's many other people, but I've handpicked a few of them, and I'm so excited to share or use my platform for them to share their story and their perspective. And this is just from our experience. So before I get into the questions that I have prepared today, I like to give my guests flowers in the beginning. There's a cool one. I don't have that. But as you know, I've chosen Angie to be on this podcast. So when I think of Angie... even though we've only known each other for a little bit, has it been a year?
I think
less than a year.
No, I think it was about a year because we met. I remember I met Gil first, and Alicia and I were college roommates, and then you came. Remember we met the first
yes.
time at the mall. Not like the mall, like the shopping mall, but like the mall in D.C. I should know this. I'm a D.C.
Oh my gosh, we were in front of the monument.
Yeah, the
I
monument.
Remember.
It looks like a pencil. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So that was last year?
Yeah, I think that was last year.
Yeah. So a little bit more than a year, and we've only seen each other in person for a few times, but and I'm glad she's affirmed me with this too. But like the moment that we met, it was like. Pretty.
Love at first sight.
No, don't get jealous, Gil. I do have that effect. But no, yeah, honestly, and I'm not like one of those girls, but I do believe that it was definitely the energy, and it's not usually the first instance where I like connect with someone so quickly, and so it's been quite some time since then, and I'm also looking forward to like after this, and we'll talk more about like the journey that you're on now and how you're a little bit more free so we can hang out
for now
and learn more about each other. But anyways, when I think of Angie, I think of hardworking, very hardworking. She keeps it real, I would think. I'm assuming. I mean, you're doing it pretty well. And you're very selfless and considerate, and you always ask how I am, ask how other people are first. And this is not really a adjective, but something I want to affirm you with is that I'm proud of you and the recent risk-taking decisions you've made recently that I hope you get to talk about later. But yeah, that's basically who Angie is to me. But would you like to give a formal introduction of who Angie is?
Side note, she like told me this like right before we were about to like film, and I straight up was like, oh, that's like a question in of itself. I have no she's like who are you? I was
that's
like,
this a good question.
Like, yeah, this is like a meta question. I was like, I have no idea who I am. I'm like kind of blonde right now, yeah. In crisis mode. But
wait, did you dye your hair because of this change? Because I tend to dye my hair or change my hair when I'm like going through a new season.
Oh my gosh, yes. You remember Antoine?
Yes,
he saw me because like so we both know this person named Antoine, and like he's known me since I was like 10. He's known me for over like a decade, and he knows that whenever I like do something dramatic with my hair, whether it's like a chop,
he's like, what happened?
Yeah, or I like dye my hair. So this past Sunday when I went to church, the first thing he said to me, he's just like, he came out and was like, are you okay? And I said So if you look at any of my like hairstyle, if I look at a picture and I see my hairstyle, like I know exactly what.
Where were you last time?
Oh, I had short hair. I had really, really long hair, like up to like almost my belly when the first time I met you, and then I cut it up to my chin because I was debating if I should move out to go to DC.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, no, I do the same thing every time I go to my stylist because I only go to one person, and usually I can tell she's like, okay, what happened? Or like,
that's so funny.
What's going on?
That's so funny.
But yeah, please tell more about who you are. Anything you'd like to share.
So it's so weird not doing this in like a professional setting, because normally when they're like, oh, what do you do in a professional setting, you have to try to be like, oh, I graduated from this, I studied this, like this is my basically all my like credit, this is basically like everything I've done to like low-key try to prove that you're worthy in like a minute or two. So this is not a corporate setting, and this is not like an interview, so I'm trying to figure out how to answer this question.
Hence the blankets, hence the candles. Yeah, like we're not better in office right now.
Better vibes, much better vibes. But I guess for starters, I'm, you know, just a young Korean American woman in my 20s, trying to figure out what I want to do with my life right now. Recently escaped corporate America in consulting. No shade for that direct like line of work. It just wasn't for me. And I'm currently doing like a career pivot. And all my friends know that like this has been something I've been trying to do for the last like 6-7 years, but have been like really scared to do. So now I'm like finally going through that transition, and we could probably talk about this later, or like when we go to a coffee shop, like after this or whatever. But
absolutely,
yeah, like my trying to like also learn that my identity is not just like what my accomplishments are and like my work, like my grades. And so yeah,
well, that concludes this podcast.
All right, let's go.
Really good.
Right, let's
that
go
was
eat.
Really good. Right, no, thank you for sharing that. And no, I completely agree, and that's one of my biggest goals. It's like or one of the things that I highlight with anyone that comes on here, like don't think that you have to be perfect to be on my podcast. Like, I'm really drawn to people taking initial steps. Like, everyone's journey is different, everyone's pace is different, and I'm really attracted to the stories of people like making those risks for themselves, because it is definitely hard to get out of your comfort zone and having to change and adapt to change and like being sensitive to what we want to do. And so it's a hard balance for sure. So yeah, we're going to get into that. And that's actually the topic that we're going to be talking about, which is setting boundaries, working with the pressures that we have on a daily, and setting boundaries in life. And that's something I talk about often, but I think it's different for everybody. But we're going to be talking about how we've applied boundaries in our lives, the areas we'd like to put more boundaries in that we may not be strong in. But a question I want to start off with is, what has the pandemic taught you? Because we're kind of like dying down in a way, but especially about yourself, what are one of the things? Because you're working basically remotely, right, at home?
Yeah. So when we talk about pandemic, are we talking about like the initial like actual like lockdown, or even like the last like 2-3 years?
Good question. Dang, time flies.
I know, we're getting old.
I don't think it has to be like really the lockdown, but essentially like where we had a lot of time to sit with ourselves. I think that's where I'm trying to get at. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. So the initial question was, what have I learned about myself in the last 2 years?
Yeah, if you have.
Yeah. I think there's a lot. I think
Hold
just
let me fix your mic real quick.
Oh yeah. It's a, okay, yeah. All right. I'm such a noob.
And no, you're
I don't
good.
Know how to work this. But like, I guess like throughout the pandemic, there were definitely like different like phases. So. Just like background, I was like supposed to go on my eat, pray, love phase like right before the pandemic. I like was studying abroad in Spain, and that was like my first kind of step of like freedom, because I was like, oh, you know, like before I was very, very like type A. I'm still type A, but like I think like prior to me going abroad, I was just so like hyper fixated on accomplishing, doing well, doing XYZ, and like not like living life, but being like, have I ticked off all my boxes, have I checked off everything in my to-do, and like have I achieved what I wanted. But when I went abroad for once, or like the first time, like by myself, I was able to like enjoy life, meet people, like figure out what I enjoy and what I like outside of like pure accomplishments. Yeah. And then the pandemic hit. Yeah. And then I come back home. And so I think through that experience, just like sitting with my like feelings and my thoughts, I realized like I didn't want to like live a life just purely on accomplishments, and that I was more than just like someone who works at this place, someone who got this test score, someone who is on her journey for this. And then so that kind of led me to, you know, go down like a different career path, I think. But then I started working in that career, because I feel like there are like two types of people, right? When they do their job, there are some people, especially with this whole like quiet quitting, work-life balance movement, working remotely, a lot of people are like, I don't really have to like my job, I just need a good work-life balance that gives me time to do what I enjoy outside of work. And then there are people who are like, oh no, I want my job to be something I enjoy, I find fulfilling, since I spend the majority of my time doing. And so
I think about that a lot. Yeah, go ahead.
You're fine.
Where do you think you fall into that?
So I think that was, like, my next kind of, like, phase, where initially when I worked in, like, consulting, I was like, you know what? You make great money. And I thought that, okay, there's, like, some clout in saying, oh, I do this at this company, you know? And then also I thought, like, okay, I don't have to love what I do, but it gives me enough money and time to do what I wanted to do outside of work. But as I gradually like worked, and I realized it's not just 40 hours. Like I ended up working like maybe 50 to 60 hours a week.
Sheesh.
And like I realized like I was so exhausted and tired at the end of my workday that like I couldn't do anything I enjoyed because I was so exhausted. And so that's when I realized like my job needs, for me personally, I think everyone is different, but like for me, I realized like I want my job to be something I love, I find fulfilling, and that is like meaningful to me. So, and that kind of prompted me to like switch careers, take a risk. And to answer your point, like what else I've learned is that like I'm like starting to internalize and realize more that like you and I, like we're so young. Like your 20s are your time to like
so young.
I know. We're just like tired and jaded.
Yeah.
That's it.
We're really tired.
But like your 20s are your time to like fuck up as much as you want.
Sure.
And make mistakes and to take risks, because like we don't have kids right now. Like we have the liberty to move around and do what we want. And so like I'm in that phase where I'm trying to have like a good balance between like my professional and my career goals, but also be like, you know, who am I as an individual, what risks do I want to take as an individual, like my personal life, my growth. That hasn't been good. I'm still definitely doing all career stuff, but
sure,
it's a process.
That's, well, thank you for sharing that. I'm really interested in like, was it like one day where you're like, okay, this is not working for me? Did it take time for you to realize that? Because of course I know it's with circumstances, like you can't just leave a job, but what was that period like? How did you know that this was not for you? And did it take time for you to realize that, or did it collapse?
My manager said one sentence to me and I was like, nope, I'm done. No, I'm kidding. I think it was very just like gradual for me. It was just gradual. At first it was like me working until like 11 p.m. sometimes for something. And then me just like getting really tired. You know, I think it's funny when people say, oh, I'm just really tired. Like there's so many like so many things they can mean. Like, are you like physically tired or are you like are you going through something and you're just tired?
For sure.
But yeah, no, it was a gradual thing. And I think for me, I just eventually was like, it just like kind of hit me. I think when, I guess it was just like also, it was gradual, but then there was like a moment where I was just like, I just can't imagine myself doing this any longer.
Yeah. For someone who's type A, because I can be type A for sure. Was that scary? Like even the thought of having to change your route or change paths because you were already set on, you like, this job, but just the idea sometimes of change can be a little bit overwhelming. Did you go through that?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Okay.
So fun fact, listeners, I told all my friends that I hated my job starting February. and then I told everyone. I would sporadically just text my friends like in June and being like, I'm gonna quit, I need to quit, I hate my job. And then I didn't actually quit until like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and so it was in October, so that took me like 4 months to actually quit. But like I also had my I couldn't quit, as you mentioned, like life happens. Like I was living DC at the time, so like I had to pay DC rent, which honestly is outrageous. And so it, and I like had other things, like I had a big test I was studying for, and so yeah, it was tough though, because for me, like I had to end up moving back home and quitting my job, and so that transition was, and I like talked about it with my therapist. Also, we love therapy. I was talking about with my therapist, and like I was just telling her how hard it was. Like it wasn't hard for me to like buy materials to study for this exam I was studying for. It wasn't hard for me to take afternoon classes for what I want to do. But for some reason, it was so hard for me to like quit my job, because that meant like saying no to stability, finances, and independence to a certain degree. And so it was really hard, because I had to move back home with my parents as like a 20-something-year-old to essentially save money, because I knew that like if I quit my big corporate job, like I wouldn't have the funds to support myself in like a nice apartment in DC. So
yeah, it's like we're so pressured on the idea of stability, which it is very important. Like, you know, everyone should be able to live comfortably and and stable, but it's definitely hard when it's like, but also there's a big chunk of your mental health and like your relationships that you need to mend, but it's like, but you have to compromise just for the sake of living you know, comfortably and paying bills. And so it's definitely like you're, the best way I can describe it is like we're torn. We feel torn all the time, torn in so many different directions. But yeah, I think it's I feel like it has to go really bad for you to discover what it is to be really good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I feel like, you know, you going through that was I believe is really purposeful, and like there's great meaning and lessons you can learn from that, because from these days forward, and of course we will always like we're not perfect, you know, we will get off track sometimes, but now you have definitely have gained perspective of what you actually need in life. And do you think so would you say like what would you call your season right now?
Winter. No, I'm kidding.
It's winter.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. My season? I don't know. I'll Uno reverse it to you. What season do you think you're in? Because you have a lot going on for you too.
Yeah. I think the season I'm in right now is embracing and letting things just be. I think I've like, it's hard for me to accept things sometimes, and I'm going through the process of that. Also the season of like, yeah, embracing whether it's good or bad, you know. I don't really get overwhelmed as much anymore, because I've been so open to change and have been so open to, you know, running into pits or bumps on the road, you know. I feel like I was more stressed and I found myself more overwhelmed when I would resist the waves that were, you know, are inevitable to come forward. You know what I mean? Like, like you can try your best to hold back the waves at a beach, but it's like impossible. And you just might as well just stay put and let it overcome you a little bit.
You ride the wave.
Yeah, you ride the wave, honestly. And then eventually, like, everything pans out, you know, everything works out in the end. And so, yeah, I've just been a little bit more graceful with myself and the same creatively. Like, I've been having so much joy creating without putting so much expectation of what it is to be an influencer, or, like, you know what I mean? Someone on social media. Like, a lot of my joy comes from behind what I upload. You know what I mean? Like, yes, I upload it for you guys, but, like, I've gained so much fulfillment behind the scenes. And so, yeah, and then I've been, you know, we have a new place here. I've been gaining so many new, like, relationships. And so it's definitely, like, embracing the simple things in life. And I think that's something you eventually have to hit when you get older, because things are so artificial growing up, or things are presented to you that it's like, you need this, this, and this to be happy and to feel fulfilled. It's like, okay, I tried it. Like, why do I feel this way? Yeah, no, why do I feel this way? Yeah, so I think that's where I'm in. I'm embracing good and bad.
You know, you're an adult when you're like, yeah, you just can't resist the waves anymore. You're
like, or is that giving up? I don't know.
No, that's not giving up. That's not giving up. Us being just tired, be like, you just ride the wave. And if you, like, if you, like, get smacked on the ground, you get smacked on the ground.
Oh, my God. I know. Maybe that's just a nicer way of saying I give up.
No. I think there's value in that. You're not giving up. I think there's, like, a certain point where it's literally, like, you can, like, fight it, but, like, you know, it's, like, one of those things with, like, they say in, like, church, you know, like, if you knock on a bunch of doors, like, sometimes, like, God won't open a door for you, and you're, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And you could try to, like, pry it open, but, you know, the universe, God, whatever force you believe in is, like, not today, hun.
Yeah, or this is not the door that was meant to be opened for you. Yeah. And, yeah, I've been learning that, too. Like, we can... So one thing I've been learning is that sometimes I'll be praying for the wrong things. Some things that I've been praying for is already in front of me. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like one of the things, because I'm a youth leader, and I was telling the youth this kind of, I was giving them like something to picture so they can understand.
Yeah.
I was like, you know how do you have that friend that that talks and talks and talks on the phone? She never lets you answer or like respond or talk. Just imagine how God feels with us, always asking and asking and talking and talking, but we haven't taken time to like sit and listen and to discover quietly what is meant for us. You know, we keep asking for what's not really for us. You know what I mean? But we have to figure that out later, being stubborn. But, you know, that itself is a lesson itself we can learn.
Yeah.
So.
That was a good, like, illustration. Like, I feel like I'm one of your youth kids. I'm like, yes, Miss Polly. I'm like, yes.
Yeah. Because I preached for the first time on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And another thing I made it on Canva, like a different, like a picture. Yeah. It was basically a... like a text messages between you and God, and then
that's so creative.
And then what you say, the blue bubble, right, is who do you say I am? And then God lists out a bunch of like adjectives, like you are, you know, unique, you're loved, blah 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 blah. And then I added, you know, that typing bubble.
Oh yeah, the dot dot dot. I thought you were talking about like the emoji. You guys know like the gif dot of the cat.
Oh no.
like typing furiously. God being about to hit you with like no.
But yeah, like the typing one, meaning that your life's not over. Like he's not done telling you and revealing things to you. And so, that's something I've been embracing too. Like things may be overwhelming and seem like, okay, this is just it, but that's just not the case. Like, we have so much ahead of us. And like you said, we think like we're like 30 already, but like we're so young. There's so much ahead of us.
Apologize to all the 30-year-olds. You guys aren't old. No. You guys aren't old.
No, you're not. But I mean, I feel like I've been 30 for a long time. But
honestly, same. I'm like my, you know, friends are like, oh my gosh, we're going to go out, have fun. We're going to grab drinks. It's like 10 p.m. I'm like, 10 p.m., that's bedtime.
Bedtime, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm glad you learned that throughout this pandemic. And so now going to the topic of setting boundaries and letting go. Mm-hmm. What are some things that you feel comfortable sharing, things that you recently or throughout these years have let go of or have been learning to let go of?
So, like, definitely one thing learning to let go of is control to a certain extent. I say that, and then all my friends who may be watching this are gonna be like, "You have you have not given up any control." But like, I feel like Alicia's gonna watch it and be like, "Why are you lying?
Yeah, why are you lying? It's okay. It's a journey.
It's a journey. It's a process." But yeah, kind of what you were saying, like about the whole analogy with you know, like text messaging God, or like the whole like door opening analogy. Mm-hmm. Just like learning, as you were saying, that like your life's like not over if things don't go a certain way. And I think for me, that's so true, because I feel like at least a lot of us, especially us like in the DMV or Northeasterners, you know, it's like a very like hustle culture. And like, I think there a couple years ago, we would like worship hustlers. We'd be like, oh, we love the hustle. Yeah, the grind. But like, honestly, that's like not sustainable, the grind. Mm-hmm. Like, we are not like robots. We're not like bots. We can't like wake up and then constantly work. And I think for me, like, I envision control being like, wake up at 5:30 in the morning and study until, or like work until whenever, and then like go to the gym and then eat. Oof. And then like do XYZ, like learn a new language, you know? And that's just not sustainable. And like, there was like a point where I was doing everything and I wasn't like listening to my body. Control in a multiple ways, right? Like, sure. Control in like both like your actual action, but also like your own like human needs, like sleep or food. Mm. And there was like a point where I was just so focused on trying to control like my schedule and control what I could like accomplish and finish, that like I got into a car accident because I ended up falling asleep when I was driving. God. Yeah. And it was like, thank God I didn't like hit anyone. Thank God. It was literally just like, I just drove off to the side of the road because I fell asleep. Like, my therapist and I were talking about it, and she was like, that's like your body telling you you're overworking yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I think since then I've been very much like giving up control when like my body's telling me to. So like, now if I have a lot of work I have to do, or a lot of things I have to like study, or emails I have to send, right? I used to be able to like work until 3-4 a.m. Mm-hmm. But now at like 1 a.m. if I'm like, I'm tired and I don't think I can push anymore, I just like go to bed.
Yeah. But log out.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm in the same boat. Letting go of this sense of control. And it's one thing for like you said, action, but also mentally.
Yeah.
Like being able to shut down and log out mentally. Like, I've just been enjoying watching TV, watching shows, because like I would feel immense guilt like watching any series on Netflix or Hulu, because it's like, oh, this is not being productive. Like, I could be doing this and this and this. I'm like, what? Like, I'm such a loser to think that I need to be working when it's technically off hours. Like, you do deserve to binge one show and give yourself rest. And it felt so good, and I'm still battling with that, like trying to not treat my life as if it's a to-do list, because like my planner is like filled. But I mean, that helps me mentally to just make sure everything's organized, but also so that part, and then also letting go of my expectations of other people. Yes, I will admit that, especially when it comes to loved ones, right? Those are the easiest people you try to, you know, you want to have like a healthy and a family that's, what do you call it? What do you call like a perfect family? What do they call it? Nuclear family or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, like basically a family that, you know, is easygoing and chill, and we have good communication. But that's not the case for everybody. And I think one of the things I've been learning is that everyone is their own individual and grow at different paces. And even though my family and I may have differences, I feel like I've learned a lot about myself recently, and where I will subconsciously realize that, oh, I'm like too controlling in this area, where it's like I expect them to, like, not everyone is willing and ready to have conversations. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's unfair for me to expect people to do that. And I mean, that's for me because, like, I'm like a huge empath. And actually, Angie has like opened my eyes to things about myself I didn't even know. Like,
highly sensitive.
Highly sensitive. Person. And I like read like 3 books.
After oh, really?
Yeah. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, this is me. But, you know, yeah. And just letting a sense of, because honestly, things have worked out and have become so much more healthier and loving and a sense of unity within my family after I've let go of that expectation. You know, because I'm letting people, like, true, genuine letting go and forgiveness. Forgiveness is not tolerance. That's one thing I've been learning. Oh, my gosh.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Yeah, because I was like, and this is with anybody. It's like, what's the difference between grace and tolerance? And, like, as humans, I feel like we will never reach the most perfect, perfect example of what grace is. But I feel like for most of my life, especially with like my closest loved ones, I was living based off of tolerance. So I would forgive just for the sake of me avoiding issues, you know, like trauma, like it's like, if you want to go that deep, it's like, you know, I avoid issues. I avoid problems. Yeah. And so I would say sorry for things that
you weren't even sorry for.
I wasn't even sorry for, or I would forgive, but not really forgiving because, you know, I have grace towards them, but just to avoid this problem that we're into right now. And so letting go of that, I think, is something I've been learning too. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Dang.
Yeah, a lot. Dang.
That's a good thing. You're just like dropping like truth bombs here. You're like, you know, tolerance is not like forgiveness, or tolerance is not like.
Yeah. And it took a while. Like it was literally, it was not until this year where I fully experienced letting go. Cause I thought I had been letting go. I've been preaching about letting go this whole time. Like, it's so easy. I mean, I've been talking like as if it's easy.
Yeah.
But it was just the surface of what that is. And so it may be different for everybody and what you personally have to let go of relationships. But sometimes it's like you have to let go of yourself, you know, holding on to something. Cause like, how are you able to like receive something when you're holding something so tightly in your control, but it's not realistic.
How would you say then, this might be me being thinking such like a binary way, like no, black or white, I'm like wondering, because like I think it's like completely true, right, about like letting go of expectations, because people are gonna just like disappoint you, and like it's just, you can't expect them to meet you halfway, but you have to like meet them where they are. But like we're talking about like balance, right? And so I'm wondering for you, I think it probably looks different for everyone, but for like you specifically, like what does that look like to not have expectations yet? I think to let go, I think it's good to let go of expectations, but there still is some like boundary where if someone crosses it, saying like, you know, I have lowered my expectations for you, but you like crossed this. And like for you, what is that marker of like, I need a break from you, or maybe we need to like rethink this because I lowered my expectations, but you didn't get rid of your boundaries.
I mean, that's something I'm still trying to navigate and figure out myself. I think for boundaries, like I feel like before sharing your opinions to somebody, or you need to check in with yourself first, and because we can tend to like react impulsively and out of emotion, and I think it's healthy to experience that before voicing out. And that's something that I've been trying to do, like just like write it down, like how I feel, and then give it a day or so to really, you know, get it, because it's really good to evaluate the process, your mental process. I think that definitely helps too. But with boundaries,
I totally like put you on the spot.
No, it's good though. It's good. If I feel disrespected in a way and that it's repeated, then I will, you know, stand my ground and like either not give the silent treatment, but you know, I'll separate myself.
Gotcha.
Okay, that's what it is that I've been trying to do. because I've been living in people, I think I told you this before, I've been living in people's frames my entire life, living in family frames, living in what people expect me to be, expect me to do, and not enough of that was living in my own frame, so it took a while for me to discover, like, this is what I need.
Yeah.
This is what I need to take care of. This is what I need to grow in.
Yeah.
You know, because I will think of them before myself. And not that that's entirely bad, but it does affect you and how you react to things. And so I think setting in my own frame for a little bit and taking a step back, I think it's what's helped me. And so that may look different. Like, that may be in different ways. Like, it may be physically separating yourself or like mentally being like, okay, well, this is where I'm at and this is where they're at, and it's not time yet for me to assume that it's gonna be okay right now, you know what I mean?
Yeah And that's like so hard, because I feel like
so hard. you're like
stress.
Yeah, just thinking about it is stress.
But yeah, no, I feel like, I don't know how you grew up.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but like, I don't know how you grew up, but I feel like, especially like, maybe, I feel like, especially girls, like, we're taught like, oh, we have to try to like fix it, you know, we have to try to keep the peace.
Yeah. Because it's hard, right? It's like, what's wrong about that? There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, who are we to like think that we can save the world?
For sure.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
And, you know, we also got to highlight other people, too. I think that's one thing I want to try to do, too. It's like, highlight, okay, like, we can't meet here. What are you good at that you're teaching me? I think that's a thing. Like I found myself envying my brother for being able to separate himself and not be so invested in working it out.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, not that he did not care,
for sure,
but to care in silence. You know what I mean? And I think I'm the type of person that like texts, like have big paragraph texts to try to explain myself.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes I do not need to explain myself sometimes for the sake of them and for the sake of myself.
For sure.
So yeah, who knows, like, you could be so stuck in frustration, but you could be also avoiding something you need to fix about yourself.
For sure.
So yeah.
Oh, you have that, like, you know, that text message to your friends where you're like getting ready to like hit someone up back about like whatever they said, and you're like fighting, or like this upsets you, and you had like all seven of your girlfriends like read it, or like guy friends be like, do I sound like a bitch, or be like, does this sound good? And then it's like a group project, you know, everyone's on the Google Doc like trying to make this paragraph,
literally.
And it's like a research paper. It's like Lee et al.
Yeah, I need it to group. Be proofread.
I know.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you for that question, though. That's a really good question. So now in this journey that you're in,
I totally monopolized
this. No, you're good. No, it's good. I like when people ask me questions too. Did we not go cover? Okay. So now that you're in this new change, what are you excited about? Actually, no. Scratch that. What have you been proud about? Because I feel like, again, going through this new change, I told you too, like, don't feel ashamed for you going back home. Like, in society, that might be the case.
Yeah.
But there's also good things that come with either going back or retracing or having to step back. So what are you proud about, you know, throughout these years of you just trying to keep it together?
Like, barely, you know, I'm like that car that got busted and you have like twist ties and like string. I'm like, there's like barely keeping everything together.
Yeah.
I like fix it by like dyeing my hair and putting makeup on.
But I think it's definitely helpful to like highlight your many accomplishments
for
throughout
sure.
that time,
yeah.
you know, to help you get through the next, I guess, chapter. Yeah. Next life.
Yeah. Okay. So the question was,
what are you most proud of?
Yeah. Sorry. sorry, guys. My ADHD is just like off the rocker.
No, it's okay. I tend to like change my question mid-sentence.
I do it all the time. I'm like that kid in class that like repeats the question. Everyone's like, she literally just said what the question was. But things that I'm proud of. I think for anyone out there that's kind of like really unhappy with their job, or really unhappy with something, and they like are too scared to make that jump or that leap of faith, like, you should, and if you make that change or make that jump, you should totally be, like, proud of yourself, because that's, that's, like, really scary. It's scary to say, like, because I think, like, especially growing up in, like, an Asian household, right, like, my parents were very much, like, you get this degree, you do this occupation or job, you get a good paying company job, and you stick with it because that's a smart thing to do, right? But it's very hard, I think, for people to, like, recognize that they're just unhappy or it's not what they want to do, and for them to, like, not be so not be in, like, tunnel vision, but, like, you know, like, scope around, you know, and to change tracks. Because I think it's so easy for us to think that, like, success or life or career is, like, linear. But I think, like, throughout this process, I'm, like, learning, like, have you ever watched The Good Place? Oh my gosh. On your Netflix binge journey, you should watch The Good Place.
A show or a movie?
It's a show.
Okay.
It's really good. It's real wholesome.
Okay.
But there's a thing where it's, do you know, like, the premise?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, for them, for all of you Good Place watchers, they have a thing where time is, like, a Jeremy. They're like, time isn't linear. Time is, like, Jeremy Baramy, like, a cursive Jeremy and then Baramy. And he's like, the eyes are, like, Tuesdays on a leap year or something crazy like that.
Oh,
so I feel like career and life is, like, the cursive Jeremy Baramy with all the loops. Everything is connected. And, like, yeah, so for me, to long-winded way to answer your question, like, if I were to at least, like, be proud of myself or something, it would be, like, for me to have the balls to be, like, no to this really good-paying corporate job that for everyone is trying to, like, get in. And I remember I'd help with interviewing students. That was part of my firm initiative, my firm contribution or whatever. It was helping recruits, which was funny because I was, like, trying to get them to come to the company. But at the same time, I was, like, I'm trying to leave this company. I'd be, like, blinking twice. You know, if they're, like, blink twice if you, like, need help, I'm, like, blinking twice.
Oh, my God.
But no, actually, I really enjoy, this is a tangent, sorry, but no, I actually really enjoyed that job, because, like, I told it to them straight, you know. I'd be like, you know, the company and the firm is great for this reason, but, like, honestly, if you want to do something else, then, like, this don't get so caught up in, like, drowning and drinking the Kool-Aid. But anyways, I digress. Like, for me, it was really hard for me. I'm totally all over the place, sorry guys. But it was definitely hard for me to realize and not just feel like I'm on a conveyor belt of the easiest path or conveyor belt of what quote unquote is conventionally, like, the good path. And it took a lot of friends and, like, encouragement and, like, my support system for them to be like, if you're miserable and you don't like it and it's not what you want to do, then, like, it's really scary, but, like, quit and find something else, because you have control of your life and you have the power to move on to something else if you don't like it. And so that's been really scary, and, like, learning that I'm anything but lazy. I think it's so easy for me to have a narrative in my head, especially someone who's, like, East Asian or just, like, an Asian woman or woman of color, to be like, oh, if I'm not hustling or grinding, I'm lazy. If I just want to rest, I'm lazy. And for me to, like, figure out, right, we were talking about this, like, boundaries of, no, I'm allowed to rest because I'm not, like, a robot, I'm not a bot. And I can continue to, like, work my hardest, and, like, I have all these things, right, whether it's, like, going back to class, whether it's, like, quitting my job, whether it's, like, studying for my exam and waking up at, like, 5:30 before my 8 a.m. calls in the morning and stuff like that. So I hope that answered your question. That was very long-winded.
No, that's good. I'm very proud of you.
Thanks,
by the
baby.
Way. That's awesome.
And me to you as well with, like, everything going on.
We're trying our best. So now that you're on this new journey, what are you most excited for, this new change? I know you're already in it, but, like, what are you excited for?
I know I was like, oh, enjoy the process, blah, blah, blah. Don't be fixated on, like, the end goal, but low-key I'm like, I'm waiting for, like, if the end is gonna work out. I don't know. I guess I'm like excited about I know this sounds super cliche and totally like a John Green young adult book.
Be cliche.
You know, like, the whole, like, thing where it's like, I don't know, I'm excited for, like, the unknown, right? Because anything could happen. Like, I could move to a different country, teach English in Spain or something, or move to a different city and do something, and I can, like, meet so many people, experience so many things, make a new, like, schedule. But that's also, like, really scary, and I don't know if you have thought about this or have experienced this, where it's like two opposite poles, right? On one end, I'm so excited for the unknown, and I like envision like my life in a different city or in a different country, but at the same time I'm like realizing like how much I like love home, and I love the people that make my home my home, and that I'm kind of like, oh, I don't know if I can like let go of this. That's like a constant like battle
sure
I thought I've been thinking about.
Yeah, but I think that's a good step in itself, like being excited for the unknown, because again, with the back to the stability thing, it's like we are told that we have to know what we're doing, and that we have to know what the future is like. You can't just be like wandering around. But I think that's what makes life more exciting, is to wander, which Gil has really taught me. I'm more of like, I need to know.
Yeah.
But it's really true. And yeah, so I think it's a big great step that you are able to be so open to the unknown, which makes life more exciting.
I say that, but internally the type A in me is like, what the hell are you doing?
And I think from my own experience of doing that and like still going through that, it's like if you have like a general idea of how you want to live, like your ideal life, ideal, how do you want to wake up emotionally, and what kind of environment you want to live in. It doesn't necessarily have to be like well off in like a really nice apartment in the city, like those are like things that we can aspire to be or do or have, but like at the end of the day, as humans, we all just want to feel either, you know, loved and feel a sense of community and feel like you're a part of something or doing something for a purpose. And so like you said, be open to what it might look like in the future. It could be way different than what you imagine right now. But if you have like a general idea of how you want to live and I guess what you want to give throughout that process, I think is also important. So
how do you want to, I feel like you kind of answered it,
but
how do you like want to live? Like how do you want to wake up
I think like a really big theme of my life is community and community and space, like and using with what I have. And so that's something I've been teaching myself as an artist. Like I mentioned this before, that I have not committed to a weekly schedule of like podcasts or one specific thing. Like I promised the only thing I've promised myself, the only expectations I've put, is I will create something every week. Doesn't necessarily have to be my podcast. It can be through writing by myself without sharing, or it could be, you know, a new stickers design. Like it does not necessarily have to be one thing.
Yeah.
And we can treat life that way too.
Yeah.
And that has just been so much more relieving for me, because it's like, yes, I've done, like I've been on the other end where I've produced so much in a short amount of time, and then it's like it's already forgotten. It's like I was not even present in that moment. And so back to the question, what kind of life do I see myself in? I just enjoy stepping out of myself and like being of aid or of service to other people. I love putting people together. I love highlighting people's strengths. Like I had my friend Emily, which was on the podcast, she cut my hair, she knows that it was uneven, but I love giving people opportunities to do stuff like that, to step into, you know, maybe passions that they haven't spent much time in or would like to do more in. So I'm like, okay, how can I be of aid to them to do that? So yeah, the ideal life I would live is just to do what I love while at the same time helping others. And
if you're
talking about artificial things, like,
no, wait, don't go artificial. That's good. That's how you want to live your life. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think community, because it's like I've tried living for myself, and it's just not sustainable. And there's no other way I can really imagine my life. If it weren't for the people in my life, I wouldn't be where I am right now. So I think that answers the question.
Dang.
Things to think about.
Dang. I'm like, yeah, I have a nice apartment. I'm like, you know, like have a corgi or two, blah, blah, blah. But no, that's really beautiful.
Thank you. Genuinely.
That's nice.
And that's why I said it's really good that you went through that season of having to get out of your comfort zone, because I know what it feels like to have little, and I know what it feels like to have a lot. And like, if I were to compare them, like, I could deal with just having with what I have now. Like, and I feel like then everything that I would want would naturally follow. And just to go with the waves, man.
Like, that's back, ends with the beach.
For real.
Ends with the beach analogy.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's a good way to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Do you have any encouragements for maybe someone in the audience that is kind of debating to take a risk maybe in their career? Anything you'd like to say?
No, I mean, just like, it's so much easier said than done, right? To just be like, to just like take a risk. And for me, it took me 6 months to actually quit my job from me saying like, I'm gonna quit my job. 8 months actually for me to be like, I'm gonna quit my job, for like me to then actually quit my job. And it's hard. Just recognize what you actually want or like, or if you could kind of like endure whatever you're doing, if you're not happy or if it's worth it. And if you realize it's not, then take it at your own pace, at your own time. Like, you don't have to quit immediately, but like, have some self-awareness and recognition of when you're dragging your feet and like when you just need to like bite the bullet. And that, again, life is like, you know, the Jeremy Bear me. It's not linear. If you want to come back to that job or that stability, you can like come back to it, but you don't want to live, I don't know, for me, I realized I don't want to live like a boring life where I just work the 9 to 5, more like 8 to 6, but like work the 9 to 5 and live a quote unquote comfortable life, but then like living my life with regret. And I think that's like my biggest like mantra the past like 3-4 years is like, if I'm wondering if I want to do something, I always ask myself, am I going to regret more? Am I going to regret not doing it, or am I going to regret doing it? And so that's something to ask yourself. Like, if you're in like a fork in the road, to ask yourself, well, which one will I regret less? Because that's something you have to like live with, right? And to that, kind of like a counter though, you can always go back. No one says you have to stick on one linear path, right? Like, no one says like you have to follow the yellow brick road. Like, you can go on the pink brick road, the blue brick road, the rainbow brick road, or whatever, and then find your way back to the yellow brick road or whatever.
Yes.
So
love that.
Thank you. Waves and brick road. What do you get? What did you get from this podcast? This episode? Waves and brick roads.
Yes. And go with the waves. I completely agree, especially with when you said that, to go at your own pace, but intentionally. Like, we can assume that we're fine settling, or fine, you know, being on the grind, but it's like being intentional is so important in everything that you do. Like, why do you do what you do? I think that's why you have to ponder every day, to really ask.
Ponder often.
Really have to ask yourself, you know, why do you do what you do, no matter what you do, you know? If the 9 to 5 is for you, that's totally fine. Like,
facts.
we're not here to tell you what you should and should not do.
Yeah.
We're only here to remind you to ask why you're doing it in the first place. Then I think everyone can live a more intentional and fulfilled life, because success is subjective and different for everybody. So
absolutely.
Well, thank you, Angie, for being here. Thank you for your wisdom.
Wisdom with like the blind leading the blind. I'm gonna tell you all these things, but like, I don't know what's going on.
No way. I would not have her if she was just not gonna give substance. I knew she would give some substance.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in and listening. If you made it this far, I hope you enjoyed it. I'm super excited for the future episodes. If you liked it, please subscribe and share, as it helps a lot. And I'm getting close to 100 episodes, so I need some ideas on what I'm gonna do, how to celebrate that. But
a big party. No, I'm kidding.
Another party. Thank you guys so much. Don't forget to always love, to always be curious, and to always ponder. Bye.
Bye.